Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. As always, we'd love you to learn more about our church by going to our website. That's epiclesis.org. Epiclesis.org. We'd love you to look at the information there and get to know us a little better, but best of all, we'd love to have you come worship with us in person each Sunday morning at 10:30. On this program each week, I love to bring you a wide variety of guests to talk about this thing called ancient future Christian faith. What in the world is it, and how is it working its way through the evangelical world? One of my very favorite of all guests is my dear friend, Dr. Carl Peters, who's calling in today from Lexington, Kentucky. Hi, Carl, and welcome.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for having me.
It's always a delight to have you with us. Carl is the senior pastor of Anchor Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. And we go way back, don't we, Carl? We were in school together, and we've been fast friends ever since. And we love to talk theology and ancient future faith and all kinds of stuff. Yeah?
From those first days on the Institute campus, when we were working on our doctoral degrees and just getting to know each other, I think we knew then we had kindred spirits, and we've really had a great time ever since talking about all of the things you mentioned.
I should say, and I don't think I've done it before, but I should, not only is Carl a good friend, and not only will I go to him, he's my go-to guy when I want to talk theology or bounce ideas off of, try to be accountable to in a pastoral kind of way, but Carl is also a wonderful husband and dad, and I think Carl is probably the most active dad of anyone that I know of. And Carl, when I think about good dads and the way you have been to your kids, I just really admire you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. My children are very athletic, and I have enjoyed following them around, watching their games, and tracking them wherever they go. And just trying to be there for them has been a vivifying factor in our lives, just trying to stay up with their schedule and their calendar. My wife is also a go-getter, and Renee is a math teacher and is very active and very busy. And then the work at the church keeps me hopping as well.
It does.
My calling there.
You're a very, very busy pastor, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to talk about something not necessarily directly related to pastoring, although both of us have a passion for ancient future faith and theology, and also this organization that we are working on together called the Ancient Future Faith Network. Now, folks, in this particular episode of Ancient Future Faith Radio, we're going to be talking about the Ancient Future Faith Network, and I'd love you to take note of this website. It's Ancient Future Faith Network, all one long word, ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org. And I want you to go over to that website and look at some of the things there. Particularly, one of the things we want to talk about today, Carl, is the call to an ancient evangelical future.
Yes, the call is an important document that was hammered out by Dr. Robert Weber, who is very important to both of us, and maybe you can share a little more about him. But he was one of the great leading voices in calling the church back to worship renewal at a time when worship in many churches had turned to sort of consumeristic pragmatism and me-focused, me-centered worship that was all about therapy and reaching one's potential as a human being. Why, Bob called us to regain the story of God at the heart of our worship. And in his call to an ancient evangelical future, he places before us many of the ideas that would benefit us if we would follow them in trying to find our way back to a more pure biblical form of worship that would lead us nicely into the future if we would but have ears to hear and eyes to see it. And Bob certainly had ears and eyes to perceive this, and he spent his life, in his scholastic life, sharing this with us, this vision with us. And I believe you and I would both say that part of our calling is to carry the torch that he lit many years ago, the Lord lit and handed to him. And we would like to carry that on as we want to share his legacy with others.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you said there, and this really reminded me that I wanted to touch on this today, was how prescient Bob was about the future. He was way ahead of his time in so many ways, and would that he would be around today to see the fruits of his thinking and some of the plowing and the groundwork that he did. But just so very, very insightful about what was to come and in predicting trends and that kind of thing, don't you think?
I do. I think he was almost prophetic at times in the way he prognosticated what was going to happen in our culture and the way the church would respond to the culture. And I think Bob was concerned that the church would become weakened and was becoming weakened by a consumeristic and by a political tie that caused the church to be tied to the rising and falling of political parties, where he believed the church should be countercultural, that we offer a beautiful truth that is embodied in no other earthly institution, if you will, but the organism of the church offers this truth to the world, and we dare not tether ourselves to things that have ups and downs and come and go, but we're this cruciform, countercultural movement of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that stands wholly apart from that and speaks rather into the culture, calling it to a radical change, a death to self, and a new life that's found only in Christ.
My guest, Dr. Carl Peters, is talking about Dr. Robert E. Weber. He was a mentor to both of us, taught for many, many years at Wheaton College and then Northern Seminary. He had degree programs at a variety of other institutions, but was the founder of the Institute for Worship Studies, later named the Robert E. Weber Institute for Worship Studies. That's where you and I met. And we were talking earlier, Carl, about the call to an ancient evangelical future. And we should go back and say that in 1977, Bob and a number of other theologians worked out something that they called the Chicago Call. And it was pretty radical, although I have to say not particularly well followed in the day, predicting some of the things that would happen to the particularly mainline churches. And Bob and some other theologians were saying, we had better get back to gospel. We had better get back into touch with our ancient Christian roots. I think it would be charitable to say that that did not make much of a dent at the time. And so in 2006, Bob spent about 7 months feverishly working collaboratively with over 300 theologians and other leaders to craft this thing that Carl and I are talking about today called the Call to an Ancient Evangelical Future. And it continued some of the themes and expanded upon that Chicago call that I was talking about. But Carl, you and I would like particularly to draw people's attention to it. So that's the first thing today. We want you to go over to the ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org site and just click on the call. And you're going to see there a really amazing document that no matter what your denominational stripe, no matter what kind of church you find yourself in, I think that you're going to find yourself saying, yes, oh my goodness, oh, I'm so glad someone is articulating these things. And we are anxious to send people there to read it, right?
Indeed we are. It's a beautiful document. It's been well-crafted. And you and I, Chris, were fortunate enough to be able to see a notebook that was full of the correspondence from Bob to these theologians he was discussing this with, and how they were hammering out every word of this and discussing and debating and sharing together what might be the best way to express this. And I think you'll find the call to be a very enlightening document, a very thought-provoking document, calling the church back, the early church, the common root, early church period, sort of a pre-denominational period where the church was truly one and where there was some consensus around, for instance, primacy of the biblical narrative and the story of God that in the Old Covenant centered on the Exodus experience, but then in the New Covenant, and Jesus becomes the new Moses who leads a new Exodus, and this becomes the primary narrative that holds the storyline of God's great sweep of salvation history. It holds it together. And how the church continues that narrative even in our day, and how we reflect, theologically reflect on this story and how it shapes us and forms us. And our spirituality is all bound up in this story of Jesus. And then we talk about worship. Bob gets into a beautiful discussion of worship, how it tells and enacts God's narrative. And I hope we can spend a good amount of time, Chris, I know we don't have a lot of time, but talking about how that is true in our worship, how we not only do we preach the word, we don't just sing about it, but we join in the story, we enact the story. And I like to talk about on-ramps, how our worship should give on-ramps to our people to engage this great story. For that's where our spirituality.
Yes, let's do dive into that particular section of the call that has to do with worship. But first, let me do this and remind folks that they're listening to a radio program called Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith church in Sacramento, California. As always, find more information on the web about Epiclesis by going to epiclesis.org. And best of all, we'd love to have you join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30. Now, folks, when you look at the call, and again, that's on the website, ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org, you're going to see several parts. There's a prologue that kind of describes what in the world this thing is all about. There's an epilogue at the end. But in the middle are 6 points, and it talks about the biblical narrative, several ideas about what the church should be, should strive for, etc. And today, my guest, Dr. Carl Peters, who's calling in from Lexington, Kentucky, a good buddy of mine and pastor of Anchor Baptist Church in Lexington, we'd like to talk about the section that focuses on worship. And the title of that section is On the Church's Worship as Telling and Enacting God's Narrative. Carl, I think what I'll do first is just simply read that little paragraph. It's just one paragraph. And then let's dive in and talk about it. We have about half of the program left, and we'll give some time to talk about this section of the call.
That sounds great.
Okay, good. All right, let me read it, and then we'll jump in. On the Church's Worship as Telling and Enacting God's Narrative. We call for public worship that sings, preaches, and enacts God's story. We call for a renewed consideration of how God ministers to us in baptism, Eucharist, confession, the laying on of hands, marriage, healing, and through the charisms of the Spirit. For these actions shape our lives and signify the meaning of the world. Thus, and this is my favorite part, Carl, we call evangelicals to turn away from forms of worship that focus on God as a mere object of the intellect, or that assert the self as the source of worship. Such worship has resulted in lecture-oriented, music-driven, performance-centered, and program-controlled models that do not adequately proclaim God's cosmic redemption. Therefore, we call evangelicals to recover the historic substance of worship, of word and table, and to attend to the Christian year, which marks time according to God's saving acts. Wow, Carl, there's so much there, yes?
There's so much to unpack. And one line that sticks out in my mind that Bob used to tell us over and over and over is that worship does God's story. That when we gather on Sundays to worship, that we ought to do God's story. And I think Bob lamented the fact that in so many churches that was missing, the story of God was missing.
Right.
You know, we'll talk about 10 ways to balance your checkbook or 14 ways to have a godly marriage, and those are good things. But our spirituality is rooted in the Christ event, in Jesus, his person and his work, and the Holy Spirit that brings us new life in Christ. And we are crucified with Christ. We don't live anymore. He lives through us. And this idea is all a part of us entering into the story of God expressed through his Son, Jesus Christ. So worship does God's story. We present this gospel story. Most of us probably understand when we hear that worship sings God's story. That seems to be evident in every church. We do a lot of singing, and we should. We have a singing faith. We also find preaching to be very important in most churches, and that's good. But how about enacting God's story? That's the part that seems to be missing in many of our experiences on Sunday morning. And Chris, I'd be anxious to sort of hear from you. When I say enacting God's story, what does that mean at Epiclesis, and what does that mean for you?
Well, I was just going to ask you the same question, but I'll dive in and try. One of the things for me about worship, at least try to at Epiclesis, is that it is formative. The way we worship forms us. And there are two or three examples of that, and I'm sure you can jump in and help me out as well. But one of the things that we try to do at Epiclesis is to help people understand that just by coming to worship is a formative act. I like to remind folks that the Hebrew word for sacrifice is almost synonymous with to draw near. So coming to worship is a formative act. When people come to Epiclesis, they enter the sanctuary by and through and next to the baptismal font that reminds us of the sacrament of water, and that it is through the waters of baptism and into the body of the church that we have membership into the body of Christ. And then when people come past the baptismal font, they will see right there in the very center of our worship space the Lord's table, where there is bread and cup set up and reminding us that one of the central acts of worship is coming around the table and renewing the covenant. When we go through worship, we gather, we hear the word, we confess our sins, we profess our faith, then we gather around the table. And Carl, what a beautiful picture that is when the body of Christ comes together and is remembered with our head, who is Jesus. And then at the end of the service, we don't just go home. We are sent forth in power into the world to love and serve the world. All of those things are formative, and to get back to your point, they tell God's big story each and every time we gather for worship.
I believe that's a very good way to put that, and I think it moves us out of the cognitive realm where we're simply thinking about the story to actually embodying the story and living it out. It becomes not only that which we believe, but that which we do, which is precisely what Bob says, that we do God's story.
I was thinking of one of the points while I was reading a minute ago, talking about, and this was one of Bob's big laments, talking about forms of worship that focus on God as a mere object of the intellect, or, and this is a big bugaboo with you and me both, and that is forms of worship that assert ourself as the source of worship and focus on me and how I'm feeling and what I'm doing, and isn't it wonderful that I came today, and I wonder what I will get out of worship. One of the beautiful things about attending to the Christian year, which he picks up on there just at the end of that section, is that it keeps the focus on Jesus and the story of God and scriptures that help us focus on something other than maybe us, yes?
Indeed. I think the Christian year is worth spending some time on, but I would like to back up just a little bit.
Sure.
And talk a bit more about God's story. One of the things that Bob addressed often was the fact that we seem to have lost our memory, and we seem to have lost the value of being connected to church history.
Yes,
and
indeed.
The church that has existed since Pentecost and the coming of the Spirit on that marvelous day. Bob used to say, there is a pressing need to reflect more deeply on the substance of the biblical narrative, its articulation in the historic faith,
yes,
and to a recovery of the fullness of this heritage. And he said something, Chris, that I will long remember, and this has stuck with me through the years. May the church not be formed by the world in which it lives, but by the narrative to which it belongs.
Wow.
The story of God.
Yeah,
and that's exactly
yeah.
what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And entering into this story is time-tested. It is true. We do this. We provide these on-ramps into the story of God by taking part wholeheartedly in baptism, by coming to the table of the Lord more frequently than once every blue moon, and allowing these performative symbols, as Bob would call them, to speak loudly in our church and to be at the heart of our worship, not as some peripheral tacked-on item that we have to do once a quarter.
Well, let me, since we're talking about God's story, and by the way, we'll just touch on Christian year in another conversation. We'll just hold that off for another time. I think you're right to hone in and focus on this notion of story, because after all, that was one of the main points of this particular section of the call, where we're telling and enacting God's narrative, God's story. If I were to pick your brains a minute on behalf of our audience and say, okay, Dr. Carl, what are some things that we could do or focus on in our church if we want to recover more of God's story than something else?
Well, in the Baptist church, we have a tradition, and we have a particular way of doing things. My church is a traditional Baptist church, and so it begins for me with preaching through the scriptures, not just preaching pet scriptures. So we use the lectionary. We follow the scripture readings for a particular Sunday. In 3 years' time, we will read just about the entire Bible in our worship. Now, of course, that's not quite true, but an awful lot of the scriptures presented. So we tell the whole story. Another aspect of that is the hymns that we sing need to be gospel-focused. So the gospel is the content of our worship.
Right.
But providing these on-ramps, for instance, having the Lord's Supper more frequently, I know that's been a battleground for years, but simply sharing with people the covenantal nature of our worship. And I'm actually writing a book right now on this, how our worship is at its core covenantal. We are part of the new covenant. That means at the heart of our worship, the twin peaks, Bob would say, would be the word and the sign.
Right.
Well, the sign is the Lord's Supper.
Right.
So to have worship that is fulsome, that is more complete, we need to have the sign of the covenant that re-ratifies the covenant. So by seeing that the covenant is at the heart of our worship, it was Irenaeus who used to say, if we want to understand what God is doing in his divine economy, in his great story of salvation history, then we need to know and understand the series of covenants that unfold in the scriptures and the nature of those covenants. So our worship is defined by the new covenant. Jesus is the word, and then the sign would be the Lord's Supper that he has given us. So those are just a few ideas for you, Chris.
Yeah, so there's just one idea right there for a church that's interested in getting back to the notion of telling God's story, focusing more on God's story, is a return to the table in your particular denominational context, of course, but just returning to the covenantal renewal notion of table, and perhaps a table more frequently. Well, Dr. Carl Peters, as always, you have given us so much to think about, and we have to get back again together to talk soon about another aspect of the call to an ancient evangelical future, and particularly want to pick your brains about the Christian year and how that might look in a Baptist context. Will you do that?
I would love to do that, Chris.
I appreciate you taking the time. Folks, you've been listening to another edition of Ancient Future Faith, and one of my favoritest, is that a word, Carl? One of my favoritest guests is my buddy, Dr. Carl Peters. He's the senior pastor at Anchor Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and love to have him here on Ancient Future Faith.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Yeah, oh, it's always a blessing, Carl. Thank you so much. Folks, until we gather again for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I really want you to think about this. Surely the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi folks, it's Pastor Chris with one more word before we sign off. The long season after Pentecost is the perfect time to experience worship at Epiclesis, or maybe jump into a small group. There's always something happening at Epiclesis, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Think about joining us for worship this summer. You'll be warmly welcome. As always, find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.